Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow, by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even the little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others.
Okay, brothers and sisters, so let us begin to start because we have a few more that have joined, so we can go ahead in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom to come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, as we, your children, come to you, Father, and praising you, thanking you, Father, what you have done. Lord, you allowed us to come on the prayer line that we can come worship together, fellowship, and thank you for your goodness. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, for each and every one of my sisters that have joined. Lord, I lift them up to you, Lord, and may that you look within their heart, and Lord, and see your love and your Son whom have died for us, and that they are here, Lord, to glorify and to testify of your goodness. So thank you, Father, for this blessing. And Father, we also ask you for your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and keep us. Oh, Father, thank you so much. We love you, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you for all what you are doing for us. And Lord, and to know the Sabbath, understanding the Sabbath and blessing us to have a rest day, Lord, many times, most of us, when we didn't know about the Sabbath, Lord, we used to work every day or never rest. But now, Lord, that rest is so pleasant. The Bible says it surpasses all understanding when we get our rest. So thank you once again. Now we're asking you to send your Holy Spirit upon this line that each and every one may be blessed and may call upon your name, whom you say when we call upon his name, you say you will hear us. So, Father, as we're calling upon you tonight, Lord, hear our prayer. And we ask him for healing. We ask him for deliverance. We ask him for everything that we need tonight to serve you and to keep your word. And we thank you evermore. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And sisters and brothers, I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 29 and verses 29. But you know, I was thinking we have a little time. But I see Brother O'Neill is on. Brother O'Neill going to bring us news. And Brother O'Neill, let me tell you something. I just saw you come on, and I'm going to just give this this short reading. And we're going to let Brother O'Neill, because he bring us news from around the world. And we are grateful that we have someone to bring us news. So let me just read what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29. And I want to begin at verse 11. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of your peace and not of evil, to give you an expecting end." What a blessing, sisters and brothers. You know, as we was talking about healing, Sister Katie and I, healing, God know the expecting end. I need to be healed in every direction. So we're going to continue, verse 12. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captive, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I ceased you to be carried away captive." Sisters and brothers, our Father give us a promise. He died for our sins. It's nothing that we can pay for it. It's nothing that we can do for it but accept it. I praise God for that. So thank you. Now, brothers and sisters, we're going to begin to open the line for brothers and sisters that they can share their testimonies, praise reports, songs, whatever God leaves on your heart, bring it to the prayer line and give God. And when the Bible says, whatever you do, do it with all your might. So, amen. Press one, my brothers and sisters, and you can begin to share. Amen. Press one, and your line can be open. And we want our brothers and sisters, whether it's a prayer request, whether you want to give your testimony, share, and let the Lord glorify the Lord in all that you do. Amen? See, no one pressed one yet. So I want to give praise. I'm going to give praise now. My husband, okay, I'm going to open the line and let her give her praise. I'll give mine another time. Amen? So I will open the line for 272-770. Your line is open. You can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line. Sister Leola, God bless you all, my dear brothers and sisters. This is Sister Tamiko from Pennsylvania. It's such a blessing to be on the prayer line with all my beloved brothers and sisters. And I definitely have a prayer request to lift each and every one up in prayer. And I want to give the Lord always praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. I praise his great and holy name. I bless his great and holy name. And I thank him so much for all he has done for me. He's given me a blessed week. I'm so grateful. I went to church. I was blessed. I was able to go out today. The Lord has given me safe traveling mercies. And I went to Walmart with my daughter to pick up some things. And it was such a blessing. It was a beautiful day. And I put about five steps to Christ in my pocketbook. And as I went out, I spoke to everyone. And I said, thank you, Lord. Let these books be a blessing to everyone that I give them to. And they was very receptive. They was happy to receive them. So I'm so grateful that the Lord is always with us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And he said he loves us all with an everlasting love. So I'm so grateful to share with my precious brothers and sisters. And I'd just like to sing a song, to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The villainous offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And I just want to read a small verse from the Bible here in Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all nations. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I love you all. God bless you all. And stay safe and well in the precious hands of King Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you for opening my line. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for reading the scriptures and also praising the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are on this prayer line tonight, and we are praising the Lord by showing forth our work, our blessing that we are here to give God the glory by sharing and testifying of his good work. And that, you know, always this is keeping our eyes upon him, because when we are reading these scriptures and when we are praising the Lord, our eyes are focused on the Lord and his goodness. Amen. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters, please press 1 and your line will be open. And Sister Tamika loved to sing. She loved to sing. She loved to read her scriptures, and she loved to pray. So I'm just giving God the praise for a sister that have come into a church, and now she is being blessed. I mean, blessed, because where she came from, she has, I mean, she's increasing in knowledge and blessing. So God get the glory. So we just praising God. So continue, Sister Tamika, praising God and continue seeking him, because he is there to give you all the blessing. Amen. So brothers and sisters, we like for everyone, no one pressing one, and we need our brothers and sisters. Brother O'Neill, I will open his line. And, well, actually, I will open Brother O'Neill's line now. Brother O'Neill, I will open your line because Brother O'Neill is joining us tonight, sisters and brothers, and he needs time to bring us the news of what's going on in this place, in this world. Amen? So let me see if Brother O'Neill is ready. Amen? Because I called him and asked him if he would come. Amen? So let us open his line to see if he's ready.
Amen.
Brother O'Neill, you did press 1, but are you ready?
Glory be to God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Thank him for the work that we have done yesterday by assisting the Queens Village SDA Church in their outreach of their health fair they had yesterday evening. And we went and we showed the people natural remedies and charcoal. We gave them natural flu balm to sample, and also we share with them the importance of using sea moss and the vital nutrients. And sea moss is good for inflammation. It's also good for mucus buildup. It also builds the immune system, and it's have natural iodine inside of it, and so much nutritional benefits. Our body needs 102 minerals to be functioning at the optimum level. And sea moss, just one plant from the ocean, give us 92 minerals. So if we get 92 minerals from one plant, that's why the reason why we should use that plant to daily in our daily. You can use it in your smoothies, and it's so easily to prepare if you prepare it for yourself. But you have to know the types that is out there, because they have some that is grown in fresh water, and you have some that is grown, and the original is grown deep into the ocean. So if you could get in your sea moss, you have to know which source you're getting it from. Thank God I was able to get my sources, my sea mosses from St. Lucia. And the people that I get it from are people that live close to the ocean, and they are the people that go to fish it out of the ocean for me. So I was able to supply people with it as well. So I want to thank God for that. And then yesterday when I was sharing it with people were even asking me, oh, you know the difference, and I was able to show them the difference. There are 5 types of sea moss, meaning that color variation, but they have this systematic, the same nutritional benefits. You have the clear sea moss, you have the gold, you have the red, some people call it the purple, you have the green, and you have the dark, like a dark-skinned person. So it all depends, like you have different variants of the honey that you get based on the pollination, where the bees get his pollination from. you have like a clear honey like water. You have the gold honey. You have the green honey, and you also have the dark honey. So that's the same conception in the ocean as well. It's based on where it is being sourced from, the depth of the ocean you get it from. So we're able to share with the people, give them some books, give them some tracks, and encourage them that the healthy lifestyle, and some other people from different churches, they said they want to put on something like that, and they're inviting us to come and share these health secret with them as well. So it's very important that we learn these things. And I have a testimony to share shortly, a short testimony. A sister called me, and she told me that she had a sprain, and she needed something. She needed to help her. And I said, I have two remedies that I know that can help, but this one is like one that you could use in 5 minutes. You can prepare in 5 minutes or less. And it was like using the cabbage leaf, the green leaf cabbage, the green color cabbage. You just take off a leaf of it, put it over the stove to warm as much as it can bear it, and apply it to the area. And you use a band-aid to band it on, and let it sit there for a few days, and it will pull the inflammation away and help with the healing process as well. She did it, and I spoke to her even today, and she told me that she's feeling, she couldn't move her arm, but now she's able to move her arm. And when she went to the doctor, they were going to give her some antibiotic and some other stuff. But she's a nurse, so she looked into those stuff and know that those stuff are harmful. And she said, she's not taking those. So what one of the tablets that they recommended her to take was going to cause her to have constipation problem. So it was supposed to help one problem, but it was causing the next problem. And we have to analyze that constipation is one of the leading causes of disease. People cannot go to the bathroom on a regular level, because their colon is clogged up. So there's some of the medication can do that to you as well. So you have to know that, you have to go back to the recipe that God gave us, which is the herbs in Genesis 1:29. So I want to share that. But I want to share some important news pertaining to what is going on at the Genoa conference session. Very important things are taking place that we need to know about. And this is from one of our Adventist news. It's called Fulcrum 7. They give us update and on what is going on. So we see that censorship and the GC session agenda. So they are discussing censorship and the GC session agenda. So we see, reviewing today the GC agenda and considering the events that is occurring within emerging, pastors are being censored, banned, fired, and this GC session agenda provides a window into future legitimacy of these actions. The GC section 2022 agenda. On page 53 and line 24, authorized speakers only speak worthy of confidence will be invited to the pulpit by the local church pastor in harmony with the guidelines given by the conference. On page 61, it says, it's also explained that the role of confidence, conference leadership and experience who may be invited to speak at the local church. Okay. On page 66, line 1 to 4, it says, only speakers worthy of confidence will be invited to the pulpit by the local church pastor in harmony with the guidelines given by the conference. The local elders or church board may also invite speakers in consultation with the pastor and in harmony with the conference guidelines. The statements above are proposed to changes to chapter 10, page 120 of the church manual in the section entitled Importance of Maintaining Unity. this declaration would have been binding, given meaning, and probably would have provoked little or no reaction. Practically speaking, they convey a watchful concern to the guard the flock from theological errand or radical pastor speakers after COVID-19. These words have come to convey something entirely different. Looking back, we see growing problems, and it is therefore appropriate to events concerned for the future. Right. In space of 3 years, two prominent pastors, Dr. Walter Veit and Dr. Doug Batra, were censored. Within the space of 3 months in 2022, Pastor Stephen Bohr, Dr. Conrad Vine, and pastor from Zambia have been censored, fired. Also ironic is that Dr. Gwandumbia maintained his position as a global director of public affairs and religious liberty. His ecumenical resume is truly not in harmony with the Bible or spirit of prophecy guidelines, or is he a speaker worthy of confidence in maintaining the three angels' message, the very purpose of the existence of the SDA Church? In other words, these reasons for suppression of each of these pastors is different. Dr. Doug Bashilo was deemed polarizing based on his calling out the beast system. You know that he have a channel called about exposing Rome, and because he have that channel, he's not too happy in having something like that, speaking much about the beast system, and that they call him a fanatic from the General Conference level. Dr. Walter White was presumably dumped for being a conspiracist. Yeah? Dr. Walter White is someone that I really, since I came into the church in 2005, I've learned a lot from him through the Bible and history. And someone like this give us valuable information that is of present truth, and then how we can understand the Bible. He was the one that allowed me to make my choice, definite choice, with just reading the King James Version of the Bible than using the other version, because when I recognize that most of the other versions, the significant doctrines are tampered with, and the wording and many passages of scriptures have been discarded out of these books. So when you see people like these have been silenced, an issue that is of vital importance for this time, then we see that it's just problematic, you know. And aside from all of that, we see a lot of pastors who speak out on the COVID policies have been terminated of their jobs. And we know that one conference, on the Gulf State Conference, has taken a stand against that, where they protest as Martin Luther protests, where they said that they would not comply with the government mandate as a conference. And I think Sister Leola is a part of that conference too, the Gulfview Conference, because Alabama and those other states are a part of that conference too. So in closing here, it says, Martin Luther in the Wittenberg, in the Diet of Worms, 1521, what he says, unless I am convicted by the scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes, councils, because they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and not will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is either right, is neither right nor safe. So help me God. Amen. I'm going to read over that statement as I go. Unless I am convinced by the scripture and a plain reason. I do not accept authority of popes and councils because they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. For to go against conscience, neither right nor safe. So help me God. Amen. So that was, they wanted him to recant of all his statement. Martin Luther says, I will not go against my conscience. It is neither nor safe to go against your conscience. And the Apostle Paul said it so clearly, that many conscience are steered with an hot iron. So don't let anyone sear your conscience from the word of God, because as Joshua said in Joshua 24, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. And that should be a statement for every one of us. Thus said the Lord, supposed to be the theme of our lives. Christ won all his battle with "it is written" in Matthew 4, verse 4. So let "it is written" lead us. Thank you, Sister Leola, for holding my line. And I have a prayer request for my friend that has been in the hospital for a week now. He has been hospitalized because he got a stroke, just a few years older than me. But based on his type of job that he does as a truck driver, he got a stroke and his brain was dead. But I spoke with his brother Friday evening, and I got some good news. He was able to feel pain now because he was not responding. And he's from Florida, but based on their driving, they were driving in Arizona when it happened. So they were in Phoenix, Arizona, and they were rushing to the hospital. And they kept him there, and thank God, two prayers, and he's been responding, and they said that they're going to keep him for therapy until he's fully able to move again. So I asked him to keep him in prayer, and his family in prayer. And a very close friend of mine, we grew up like brothers, so I have to go down there to see if I can go assist them in providing a new lifestyle change, you know, because that is very important. So thank you, Sister Leola, for me.
Amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, this brother of O'Neill is a brother of the prayer line, because that's how we are here on the prayer line. If it's a brother or sister, one of our close kin, he's a brother of our eyes too. So let's go into prayer right now. May everyone please be in prayer with me while we lift up. And what is his name, Brother O'Neill?
Sheldon Ramkissen.
Sheldon. Okay, brothers and sisters, let us go in prayer, because God is able to save this young man's soul. And Brother O'Neill, I know when he go there, if it be God's will, God can bring this young man back into good health. And we have seen it. Many people I know that almost died and come so close, myself, have come so close. And guess what? The Lord healed us. So let us go in prayer by God's grace. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to the throne of grace, Father, to bring Brother Sheldon to you, Brother Eli, close brother. They were like brother, Father. And I know that he desired that this young man be saved in your kingdom. So, Heavenly Father, we can come to you, Father, on the behalf of this brother. As a whole prayer line, we come to ask you, Father, to be there with him, to strengthen him, Lord Father, to help heal him. and allow Brother O'Neill to go there to minister unto him. Father, that this young man going to receive your blessing, your salvation, your spirit. And Father, he going to get up and say, praise God, praise God. From whom all blessings flow, he's going to say, thank you, thank you. And he's going to say, what a friend he has in Jesus. Lord, Father, you are the one that will touch this young man because of prayers, Father, that goes out for the ones that we are praying for on this prayer line. Lord, not one is praying, but Lord, we as in unity is lifting this young man up to you, Father. You say by one or two or three, Lord, you say we able to put 10,000, thousands to flight. So, Lord, now we sending up by your grace, Lord, to help this young man and to show his family that there is a true living God and he's able to raise him, Father, from that stroke and be complete. He can be back to himself. We saw what you did for the man that was blind, the woman that had the issue of blood. We saw what you did for the paralytic man, all those that was dead. We've seen this, Father. And now we asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to please touch him, Lord. Touch his mind, touch his body, and, Father, give him healing, Lord, and that he may come through fully and show those doctors that healing is in Jesus and he's able to do anything but fail. So, Father, we thank you so much that Brother O'Neill has brought this young man to the prayer line, that prayers may go up and blessings come down. And, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you will do. Oh, Father, bless Brother O'Neill as he go in faith, as he go in believing that his Savior will do the impossible. So thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother O'Neill, I want to thank you for all the work you do to bring to us on the prayer line, the study, the things that you seek. And then I needed to ask a question. We need to ask you, Brother O'Neill, is that sea moss is good for the eyes? Because you know, we as we get older, we need for the eyes, for blood pressure. Is it good for that?
Yes, it's good for that as well.
Can you take, say for instance, if you own any type of blood pressure medicine, can you take sea moss?
It doesn't interact. It doesn't disrupt anything.
Praise God. Because I thank God that the Lord blessed me not to be on any medicine. But I believe in herbs. Because let me tell you something. I take herbs, I'm telling you, from valerian root, from fenugreek, fennel. I'm taking barberry, bilberry. I take different times. I switch up the herbs, bitter melon. Bitter melon, Geneva suggests, Geneva, I can't pronounce that too good. All these, I just mix them up for my blood sugar. And I even sent Sister Tamiko some of these things. And let me tell you, it works. God remedy is the best. So, and I just want to ask you one other thing. Will this help a wound that caused, that for some reason a wound come up on your leg? How will ivory moss, sea moss would help wounds? How will it help?
It has zinc. It's loaded with zinc. And one of the purpose of zinc is helping to restore the cells in the body and also helping in the healing process. We have magnesium as well, which we need. We have calcium. We have vitamin B12 and vitamin B2. We have vitamin C. you have iron, you have iodine, and a lot more stuff. And it's also it's antibacterial, and it's antiviral, and it's anti-inflammatory properties. It's healthy.
Amen. Yeah. So one more question. So is this sea moss is healthy to take once a day or three times a day just to get those nutrients, the vitamins in?
You only need 2 spoons per day. So potent it is.
Okay. So you need 2 teaspoons? You do it with you boil it with tea or do you do
What you do with it, like for instance, how to prepare it, you soak it for 12 hours or less, 6 hours with some lemon juice, some water, and some lemon, or squeeze a lemon inside of it and let it stay. And then it will be clean. You kind of rinse it off. And then after, you add about, based on the amount you put in, you add the water, not to drown it, but put some water in it. And you blend it out in a Vitamix, and you add a glass jar and store it inside the fridge. And whenever you need to make your smoothies, you can add it to your smoothies. So that is very important.
So
or you want to take a teaspoon by yourself, you can do it. You can add it to honey, whatever, and eat it too. So it is very nutritious. It's one of the most sought after superfood right now based on
Let me ask you another question. You say you have to rinse it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then,
so
because
rinse it off
remember,
the water first?
Yes, after you soak it. Yeah, because it's going to take off all the residue that is inside of it because it's coming from the ocean. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for telling me that because I never rinse the sea moss. So I have golden sea moss. What kind of sea moss that would be the most healthy for you to get these benefits, this 92 minerals?
All of them have the same benefits. It's just accidentally, based on the geographical area where you get it from. Sometimes the colors are different, you know, but they have the same mineral content. The mineral content is not different. Not a different.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for all this information. And, and it's just a blessing to be able to. And if no one really got all the information, can you please text it to me? Because I will text it out and share it with others to make sure got it, how to fix it. I want to make sure they're fixing it right so they can get the benefit because I have a sister
I will send you the blog that I put on the website that we distributed to people from the website. So I'll send the blog to you so that you can send the blog to others that they could read upon it as well because I sent it there.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we want to thank Brother O'Neill. We probably took a few more minutes, but this is a information that can help brothers and sisters. I need some of it. I have it, but I needed to understand because I never rinsed it. So now that I know that, that's a benefit to me and everyone else. So thank you, Brother O'Neill, once again for coming on and sharing the news and the update with us. So God is so good that we have this on the prayer line. So I'm going to go and move forward to open the line for my brothers and sisters. And Brother Akeem will not be here until 8:30, he said. So brothers and sisters, you have time to share. So thank you once again, Brother O'Neill, for your patience and your work that you do to help us out. So brothers and sisters, I will open the line for 857-505. Your line is open. And if you can be a little brief, brother, because we want to make sure everybody share. Amen? Go ahead,
amen.
Brother.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name is Rambuela Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank God for his love and his mercy and his grace. Sister Miola, I have a prayer request. Sister Miola, my prayer request is to pray for my mother, lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, please lift up that brother in prayer too. Lift up Brother Javel in prayer because he needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. Brother Javel needs a lot of prayer, so lift him up in prayer. And Sister Miola, lift him up in prayer that he will be saved in the name of the Lord. And because Sister Miola, the enemy is attacking him at the moment, Sister Miola. But please lift up Brother Javel in prayer because the enemy is attacking him. Please take pray for the others too, Sister Miola, and lift up the others in prayer. And Sister Miola, I want to sing a song at the moment before we move on. But tell Brother Akeem to have a question for him too, Sister Miola, after the message. But let me sing a song.
Brother Eli, take care of you.
I want to sing a song, Sister Miola.
Yeah, make your song brief. We can listen to your song, so just make it brief, babe. Go ahead.
Remember, take care of you. God will take care of you. Remember, take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. No one remember day of you. God will take care of you. And Sister Miola, I want to say to Brother O'Neill, Brother O'Neill, have faith in the Lord, my dear brother. God will take care of everything, Brother O'Neill. So lift me up in prayer, Brother O'Neill. And Sister Miola, over your line, please lift me up in prayer, my mother. And please lift up our dear brother too. Sister Miola, tell him the name of brother. Lift up Brother Javel in prayer. Pray for Brother Javel.
Amen.
You know how you spell his name, why? Sister Miola, you know how you spell it?
Amen.
J-A-V-E-L.
Yes, we got it, Brother Eli. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for singing that song for Brother O'Neill. And it's a blessing. Yes, God will take care of us. So as he sang that song, and then we will lift up the brothers in the family. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we have time. If you would like to share, we ask that you press 1. We got quite a few brothers and sisters, and if no one pressed 1 yet, you have time, so please press 1. We would like to go into prayer at least about 20 after Brother Akeem will not be on until about 8:30. Amen. I have 423-635. Your line is open. Amen. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Good evening, Sister Leola, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Carla from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his love. I thank him for just blessing me, waking me up this morning. I've been a little under the weather, but God has been seeing me through. Nothing really hard, just, you know, some aches. No, not any runny nose or anything, just some aches and stuff, but doing the natural remedies. And you know, even today I went out to buy some carrots and stuff. I'm gonna juice carrots, beets, and ginger, and what I have here, and also making soup. So I just thank the Lord, because he fixed us in such a way, and he gave us wisdom and understanding to know when we're sick or when something is coming on. That's why we should always, you know, like you are doing the natural herbs, you know, switch it up and continue to safeguard our body, because we're around people that's sick, people that have been vaccinated, and people that's the spike protein there, you know, is coming off and it will affect us. So we have to make sure that our immune system is built up and that we're strong, we're eating healthy. And again, I just want to thank God for provision. I was supposed to go to work today, but I just thank the Lord that my my employee called me, the on-call person said I didn't have to go in today. So I just thank the Lord because I needed another day of rest, you know, to stay home. So again, I just thank the Lord for that. And I would read Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84 and starting at verse 9. Starting at verse 8. Psalms chapter 84, verse 8. It says, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ears, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. For the day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things, brothers and sisters, will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. So again, that was Psalms chapter 84, and I started at verse 8 through 12. So we know he will not withhold nothing good from us, which is it will be a blessing to him, a blessing to others and ourselves, because God is not into just us being blessed. He wants others to be blessed too, and he wants us to know that he loves us. So I just thank the Lord for his blessing, his mercy, his love, and just speaking to me in only the language that I can understand as I go through my ups and downs. And I'm here sometimes all by myself doing the work of two. And I said, Lord, you know what is best, and may your will be done in your time and according to your purpose. So I just thank the Lord again for opening up doors. I thank him for supplying my needs, and I thank him for this prayer line, and for us to come on and share and pray for each other, and to be a witness to those in the community and those we meet. So praise the Lord, and thank you again for opening up my line, Sister Leila.
Yes, and you are welcome. Thank you for coming on to share. And I'm just grateful to hear that God's children is walking upright, doing the right thing. Praise God. Come on and share and testify of his goodness and what he's doing for us. What a blessing, sisters and brothers. And while we wait, we asking our brothers and sisters to press 1. I know there's many want to say, oh, please pray for myself, my neighbor, pray for someone. I know there's prayers. Well, I just want to share, since I'm waiting on everyone else. Well, I've been watching my neighbor, my neighbor's house next to us, and I said, I know she's gonna be having her baby, and so I saw some people today drive up, and I say, hey, how are you doing today? And they said, oh, we're doing fine. How are you doing? I say, great. I said, did my neighbor have a baby? She said, yes, they'll be coming home in a little bit. And I figured that she was going to have the baby. So, and I spoke with her her husband just last week. I said, remember, we still going to look into the word, you know? He said, oh, yeah. He said, definitely. So I just praise God to always, always be encouraging, nice to people, and let them know that you are thinking about them, you're praying. And so I dialed the phone just to call, but she didn't answer because she was getting ready to come home, because I called her today. So I just praise God that the Lord blessed her, and I prayed for her to have a safe delivery. and now thanking God for what he has done. So, sisters and brothers, I'm just grateful. I'm just praising the Lord. It's a blessing. Sisters and brothers, I'm just waiting, and we want to make sure we get everybody in. We have our sisters and brothers on, and I know you have a testimony. I know you have a prayer request. So we're asking you to press 1, and you can share. And if not, we can pretty much say we can go into prayer. I see Sister Powell, you don't have, Sister Powell, I know Sister Powell got a praise. I know she got a praise in thanking the Lord, but I have not opened the line for anyone because, you know, I don't want to just open the line. I would rather them to share. So thank you, sisters and brothers, for coming on the prayer line. And, yes, I believe that you can be anywhere, but you are here worshiping together with us. And we just want to welcome our brothers and sisters to Ebb and Light Ministry and also all the others that are listening on the prayer line also from all out of the country and from different areas. We welcome all. So, yes, we have someone press 1, so let us go and open that line. We open the line for 518-744. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and praising the Lord for just an awesome day that we had here. Weather-wise, this weekend we had actually two memorial services in our church for longtime members that have passed away. One of our oldest member, actually, he was 98 years old, passed away in January, and his family was from Tennessee, so they just had his memorial service on Sabbath afternoon at the church. And then another one of our saints, who was 86, she passed away a couple weeks ago, and they were family members. I mean, they're related, the two of them, and so they had them on the same weekend so that family traveling from far away would not have to make two trips. And it's kind of sad, sister, but, you know, we have such a hope. And, you know, there weren't many tears there. I mean, there was some sadness, of course, when family members pass on. It's hard because we were not made to die. We were made to live forever. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them to live forever, and death is not a natural thing to us. It has been since sin came in. But wow, what a hope we have, sister. You know, Jesus is coming soon, and those who are faithful, those who look to him, that do his commandments, that trust in him, that accept his salvation, have that hope that when he comes, they will hear his voice and they'll be raised up, and it's just an awesome thing. But just wanted to ask for prayer for my family, for my daughter Ashley, and sister. I was just praying the other morning, I believe, Sabbath morning, yesterday morning, and Jarvis just popped up on my mind, and I had to just sit there and pray for him for a little bit, and been praying for Ashley. We haven't heard much from her. She was upset with me the last time I talked to her because I was questioning her about what has been going on in her life, and she hung up on me, so I haven't spoken to her. I need to call her very shortly, see if she will talk to me again. I'm just praying for Ashley and Jarvis both. They are in a situation that only God can free them from, and I'm just praying that God will free them in such a mighty way that they will come on this prayer line. There'll be no wondering what happened, and they will have a testimony like no other. But I need to lift up our brothers and sisters in Missouri and in Arkansas. I was just talking to Brother Mozart. I finally got in touch with him. He was working at the Tree of Life with Brother Udy, and I've been trying to reach him. I finally got in touch with him today, and we just need to pray for the work. And he is in Missouri right now, preparing to to work for the Lord there. And so just lift up our brothers and sisters in Missouri and Arkansas, that the Spirit will be mighty within, and they will be able to reach some souls. And praising the Lord for his goodness, sister. I don't have a text right now. I had a text that I wanted to bring, but I'm outside to still trying to get a few things done here. And so I will let someone else speak now, but I just praising him, and he is so good and gracious. And I'm just thankful. Just please pray for my friend John, too. I've been taking John to church every week. He's been coming. He's a little hard to reach because they say he's got Asperger's really bad, and some of his mannerisms, some of his idiosyncrasies, I guess we could say, because of his Asperger's, make it hard for him to relate to others. And sometimes he says things and not, in a manner that is kind of harsh. But I give him grace because God loves him. And just praying for John, that the Lord, that God's Spirit will reach and touch his heart. I know that God can reach him, and I'm just praying that he will. So thank you, sister, for opening my line, and just God bless each one of you. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing. And Brother Rick, I must say this. Yesterday I was in my prayer, and you know the Lord just showed me, it came to my mind, you know, thank the Lord. Thank him for what he already doing. We done asked. I said, Lord, I done ask. I said, but you know what the Lord said? Thank you. Thank you. When I was reading the Bible, thank you, Lord, for keeping Jarvis safe. Thank you for taking care. And that was my prayer for Jarvis, Sister Tamika's son, and Ashley. Just thanking the Lord for what he already done. He keeping them alive.
Amen.
We're thanking him,
yes,
for feeding them and protecting them. And I just went into a thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know what? And
Amen.
God want us to give him praise. And as we giving him that praise, he's steady working it out for them. And I just give him all the glory. That's the praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. So, Brother Rick,
Amen.
Yes, we will lift that up, and we will thank the Lord once again for keeping them and blessing them and feeding them and protecting them. Yes, we will do that. So, and I thank you for coming on to share and giving your testimonies. And I know that it's, you have a love for the brother and the sister. And so, and all you have asked is to pray for the brother. And so we will lift that up in prayer too as we continue. Amen. And so, brothers and sisters, we're going to go into prayer, because as many requests has been asked, we want to, as Sister Carla had mentioned, that we need to be cautious out there because of other things that's going on. We don't want to get sick from passing things on. So let us remember that in our prayer also, and all these other things that everybody asks, brothers and sisters, being prayerful for protection and you know, for everything that God is already doing. So let us pray for that. And thank you, Brother Rick. Once again, we will lift your family and friends, especially, I believe his name is John. You said John, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right then, all right. All right, and thank you once again, and we're going to go into prayer. Now I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters, if there's anyone else that would like to share? If there's anyone else like to share? If not, we're going to go into prayers, brothers and sisters. And, I would like to ask my brothers and sisters, I know that Sister Carla is not feeling too good, and her throat is bothering her. Sister Power, I know you're on here, and you I don't know if you're tired or if you have words, but I'm just going to ask you to offer a short prayer if you can. Amen. I'm going to just ask a short prayer, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, are you there?
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell on the line. Welcome again. And I was pressing one to give my praise report, and the line didn't open. And this thing is happening several times. I don't know why, but it is happening.
Oh,
but
my
God.
I should have just opened your line, Sister Power.
God,
your hand never came up.
God
so,
is good.
So,
God is great. And we just have to give thanks to God for all that he has done. As Psalms 136 said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, very good, for his mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord, for his mercies endure forever." God is so good, and his mercies endure forever, forever and ever. And that is really bring joy in my heart to know that I have a loving God who is so merciful, despite of all things being there to bless and to keep, and also to allow us to join this line tonight, that each one can give their praise report. We have listened and we have heard, but all we have to say, the Lord is good. His mercies endure it forever. I just want to give this praise report. I heard from Sister Barnaby today, and it brought joy in my heart to hear. For all these times, I was trying to get Sister Barnaby, and she did call today. So she sent her love, and we encourage her to come back on the line. She is doing well. She went to Jamaica, and she spent a little time, and she's back. But my praise report is that she's doing well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we, your children, come before you this moment. Thank you for who you are, a God of love, a God of peace, a God of joy, a God of long-suffering, a God, dear Father, who know everything about us, a God who is unique, you know, a God who sacrificed his life for us, and a God who have no partiality, a God who is for everyone over the wide world, a God who said he has sheep in every fold. And Lord, help us that we will acknowledge, Lord, that command, that there are brothers and sisters out there who, dear Father, we feel that not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But we know, dear Lord, you told us that they will, Father. And because they are out there, dear Lord, we are asking you to pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon us so that we will be able to go out there to share your truth to them so that they can come to know you more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fellowship, sweet fellowship with every brothers and sister who joined, dear Lord, with all their praise report in which you heard and you know everything about, dear Father. Lord, we present, Lord, Brother Rick to you, dear Lord. So, Father, you is your child, your son, doing your will. Father, he had petitioned these things to you, clearly, especially his dear beloved daughter, Ashley. Lord, his own, Lord, that is his flesh, that is his blood. Dear Lord, we present to you and these precious grandchildren of his. And dear Father, we know that you promised that you will take care of Ashley, despite of all things, Lord. She may not understand now, but one day soon and very soon, and it's good, Father, that we can say continue to pray for our children, because, dear Lord, we have a loving God who is able to do all things. So we place Ashley in your care. Lord, we are praying for John, Lord, artistic John, who he had brought to church. And we see the loving Brother Rick Hart, that you want to study with that young man. Dear Father, we ask you to strengthen him. Allow the Holy Spirit to fall upon him, Lord, He may not understand now, but gradually the Holy Spirit is able to teach and to guide him, to strengthen Brother Rick. And I also, Lord, lift up those who, dear Father, are mourning in the church, a memorial service, Lord. We're not praying for those who gone down, but we're praying for the living family members who are still alive, maybe children, grandchildren, maybe sons and brothers and sisters, Lord. We lift them up to you. We know you are the great comforter, and we ask you to comfort them and give them peace that they may reign for you and live for you. We also lift up, dear Father, the church, your Queensberry Church, dear Lord. You know everything about those brothers and sisters. We lift them up, and also the school. Lord, we lift up the feeding program there, dear Father. Allow those people that their heart will change and they will come to know you, Lord. Brother Rick, all the children and grandchildren. We also lift up, Lord, as we lift up the tree of life. Dear Lord, you know everything, what's going on there. Lord, it is your work, dear Father, and you are in command. So we leave everything in your care. Bless, Lord, the little precious children, and keep them, Lord, wife and husband, and all the workers there, and all those individuals who come, Lord, to share. Father, you are the great physician. Your daughter, Sister Carla, is not feeling well, but because we have a loving physician that we can call on, we thank you for the remedy natural that you have given unto her, that she could able to go and use some of the natural remedy. Lord, also, dear Father, we know that even our job, dear Lord, they had compassion that they were able to call, that she was not able to. She is able to stay home today and get rest. Lord, comfort her at this time and touch her sick body, the feeble body, because we know when we are coming down with something. So we ask you to touch her, Lord. Bless Nicole, Nicholas, and Amanda. Keep her, Lord, and also her brothers and her sister. We lift up Brother Eli as he prayed, Lord. Father, continue praying for Jari, Javel, Jamel, Hisma, Pasco, his mother Ruth, and everyone, Lord. You know everything about these individuals, what they need, so we leave them in your care. Lord, we lift up also Sister Tamiko, who is praying for her family, her children, her mom, Lord, and her list of individuals in which you know them by names, you know even the number of years on their head. And you said, Lord, if we ask, we have to have that confidence to believe that you hear us, Lord. You are not deaf. You heard our cry. So we are asking you, Lord, let your will be done. We lift up Brother John and Sister Brenda this evening and the grandchildren, our son and our daughter, and the community that they are in sharing the message. Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift up Sister Leola with Brother Ray and Nicole, dear Father, Jarvis, the granddaughters, two granddaughters and grandson. We lift them up to you, and also her sister, and also Drake, dear Father. We lift up Drake to you. Father, we lift up Brother O'Neill as he lift up Sheldon. You know everything about when we have friends and they are sick, dear Lord, it affects us. So we ask you to allow Brother O'Neill to be strong. And as he's making preparation to visit his brother, dear Lord, we ask you to give him traveling mercies and allow him, dear Lord, that he will reach his destination safely and that he can come back. We lift up Sister Stephanie and her family members, Lord. Lift up myself and my family member, Father, and everyone, dear Lord, who is on this line. You know all of us, Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift up the speaker, dear Father, Brother Ricardo, who present the message. We lift him up, and also his family member, Brother Akin, who will be presenting the message tonight. Lord, strengthen him. Allow this message, fresh bread, will come from Heaven Bakery, Lord, that your people will be filled. And also not just only filled, be changed, and not only to be changed, to learn of you, dear Lord, because when we learn of you and we see your work dear Father, we will know how to do in decently and in order. And you said whatsoever we do, we must do it in the name and hand to bring honor and glory to you. So, Father, we just want to thank you for everything. Thank you for this big family that you have given unto us. Bless us, we pray, and help us, Lord Jesus, that we will continue to love you, continue to be obedient to your will. This is our prayer we present to you in Jesus' name. We thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Powell, and we are sorry that the hand did not show for your number. You say you press 1. So I don't know what happened, but it never showed on the board that you raised your hand. But that happened before, but I don't know, brothers and sisters, as I'm looking at the board, Sister Powell says she pressed 1 how many times? How many times you pressed 1, Sister Powell?
Pressed 1 time today, but I know this is happening.
1 time?
Quite
okay.
Yes, but I see 1 on my iPad here. That's the phone I use. But I did it already another time last week, and it was the same thing. And I was here waiting.
So it's on your iPad that you press 1?
No,
it's on your iPad?
My iPhone.
Oh, it's on your iPhone? Oh, it doesn't show up on my iPad. But sisters and brothers,
we can't discuss this now, Sister Leola. We are on the line.
Okay. No. But I want people to know, if you press 1, and if your number is, if your hand is not up, and I don't see the hand up, most of the time I don't know if someone pressed 1.
What number you have? What number you have? 591.
Yes. Uh huh. That's the number showing up. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Well, that is it. I press again.
Yeah.
I press 1 again. I'm going to press 1 again.
Yes. Okay, yes, and I can tell you whether it showed up. So, sisters and brother, Sister Power, let me see. No, Sister Power, your number didn't show up again. Brother Eli came back up. Press 1. You press 1? So, sisters and brother, Sister Power, press 1. And so if it just so happened to happen to one of you guys, it's not that we ignore you. Sometimes this computer just, I don't know what happened, but it just doesn't pick up. It just doesn't raise your hand. So it's not that it's on our part that if you press 1 and we don't see it, we don't just open the line. But some people like Sister Power, Brother O'Neill, the people that's on the, that's all regular, we open their line. But other people, we just don't open the line like that. So just know, if you press 1 and your line don't get open, we did not see your hand raise up. And you can just text Sister Leola, text Sister Power, text Sister Carla, and let us know, hey, I've been pressing 1 and you didn't open my line. And then we'll know and we can open your line. Amen? That's what we want to make sure everyone know. So we thank you, brothers and sisters. We want to thank Sister Power. Always very grateful. Sister Power, lift us all up in prayer. And as God continues to bless us through our prayers, we have been 9 years. I think it's 9 years, right, Sister Power, on this prayer line. So God has been good to us, and we are very grateful. Amen. And Brother Akeem will be the speaker tonight, brothers and sisters, and he will join us in a minute. He said 8:30. So we would like for brothers and sisters, if anyone had not shared, we're going to be back on the prayer line on Thursday, and we asking that anyone that have not gotten on Thursday, please join on Thursday. We learn a host of information about health and about many things. So you can join on Thursday, and you can do the same thing we have done. Press 1, and your line can be open. So we want to welcome you and thank you again. And Brother Akeem is our speaker tonight, And, you know, if you have any questions about what Brother Akeem is bringing or what he's saying, you take yourself off the host queue and you press 1 again. And at the end, he can answer your question. Amen. So we want to welcome you, and we also want to thank you once again for joining us on Advent Light Ministry. And I will play a song, or maybe Sister Power can give us a song. If Sister Power, if your voice is not too, if your voice is not too, you know, strained, if you can give us a song.
All right, I'm going to do this one. Okay?
Okay.
Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Glory, hallelujah, praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Savior, let thy kingdom come. Praise him, poor of sin consumed. Bring thy blessed million, O holy Lamb. Glory, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Thus may we each moment feel, love him, serve him, praise him still, till we all on Zion Hill see the glory, hallelujah, praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Amen. 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 You are there?
Yes, Sister Powell. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Thank you, Sister Powell, for bringing that song to us. Glory, hallelujah. Brother Akeem has joined us, and we will open his line. Amen. Thank you once again, Sister Powell. Brother Akeem, we will open your line. Amen. 301-640, your line is open. Amen.
All right.
Brother
Thank
Akeem.
You so much. Amen. Can you hear me?
Amen. We can hear you.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. All
yes,
right.
We can.
Well, glad to be back on this evening. And today we'll be studying from the book of Acts and just looking at a few parallels from the book of Acts in light of the close of probation and in light of the medical missionary work that will transpire, bring healing to God's people just before that time takes place. And so if you bow your heads with me in prayer as we commence. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your goodness toward us. And I pray, O God, that you will strengthen us in you. Give us a greater love for you. And teach us your ways, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you would go with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, specifically Acts chapter 7, All right. So let's go to Acts chapter 7, and we will look at the sermon of Stephen. And actually, just to give context, we'll go back to Acts chapter 1 and see the context of Stephen's rising. And so it says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, and in those days, so keep in mind, this is, we'll find out, this is 3.5 years after the death of Jesus Christ. 3.5 years after the death of Jesus Christ, this takes place. And the way that we know that is that with the stoning of Stephen, or let's say chapter 7 takes place 3.5 years after Christ's death. We know that after the crucifixion of Christ, Pentecost took place 50 days later, and then Christ promised, according to the book of Hebrews, to give his disciples, actually, the power to basically be the confirmation of Daniel chapter 9. Because you remember in Daniel chapter 9, the ministry of the Messiah was prophesied to be actually 7 days. The ministry of the Messiah was said to be a week, but the Bible tells us in the midst of the week, according to Daniel chapter 9, his ministry would be cut off. And basically what that's showing us is that Christ would do a work to reach the Jews, especially at the end of the probationary time period he gave them to come to him. He would give them 7 years from the time his ministry started when he was baptized all the way to the time of the stoning of Stephen. The thing that would happen, however, is in the midst of those 7 years of ministry, Christ would be crucified. And so we're going to come back, hold your fingers there in Acts chapter 6. Let me give you a picture of that, if I can, in Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to go to verse, specifically, verse 26, all right? Actually, verse 27. So it says there in verse 27, and he, that is, speaking of the Messiah, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the 1 week, by the way, that many evangelicals take. They throw it all the way down into the future as something that is supposed to happen after the rapture. But according to Scripture, there's no sign in Daniel chapter 9 giving us permission to cut these 7 years off, or this 1 week off, from the larger prophecy that is mentioned from verses 24 onward, which is the 490-year prophecy. We are looking at the last 7 years of a 490-year prophecy. And this is speaking of the last week of that prophecy. Now, what does that mean? When we're looking at Bible prophecy, 1 week is equivalent to, of course, 7 days. But you remember, according to the book of Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6, and also the book of Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34, 1 day in Bible prophecy is equivalent to a year. So it is telling us in verse 27 that the Messiah shall confirm the covenant, that is, to reach the Jews, to reach the Jewish nation, and to cause them to be the conduit through which he gives the gospel message to the world. He promises them 1 week, and that is equivalent to 7 days. In Bible prophecy, that would be each day for a year, 7 years. So the Messiah shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, but look at what happens to the Messiah in the midst of that week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, you remember how Jesus did that, right? The way that the sacrificial system was put to an end, the evening oblation, the sacrifices that were given by the Jewish nation, the way that that came to an end or reached its climax was in Christ being crucified. So the sacrifice of Jesus caused the sacrificial system to cease. And of course, the rest of the verse tells us of the coming desolation of Jerusalem itself, right? The coming wrath that would come against Jerusalem over approximately 3 decades later in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed historically. Millions of Jews lost their lives in that destruction. But friends, Christ, way before that destruction happened, he said, I will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So the first 3.5 years of that 1 week, that is, you remember, 1 week equals 7 days. But in Bible prophecy, a day is equivalent to a year. So we're looking at 7 years. So in the midst of the 7 years, that's 3.5 years in, Christ would be crucified. And it's very interesting, as you look at Christ's ministry, you find out, according to the book of John, there were 3 Passovers that happened during his lifetime, from the time he began his public ministry to the time that he died. So what we're looking at here is a 3.5 year ministry that took place, and Christ was cut off at the end of those 3.5 years. But you remember, it's 7 years. Christ promised to confirm the covenant. So how was the rest of that 7 years completed? The way that that was completed, friends, was through Christ's apostles. Through the training that men and women received from the apostles, the gospel would continue going forward. The apostles would continue to give it. Hence, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles received the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we look at Acts. We now come to Acts chapter 6. We're going to see something happen here, and this is very interesting. So the time of the Jewish probation was coming to an end. God gave the Jewish nation, from the passing of the law for the Jews to go back and have their own judicial system, days of Artaxerxes Longimanus, he started off the decree by saying to the Jews, you can go back and you can build your city, you can have your own judicial system, you can guide yourself. And so as he freed them to do this, the year was specifically 457 B.C., 457 B.C., approximately 400 years before Christ. And so as this happened, Artaxerxes gave this decree in 457 B.C., and 490 years later, God was going to, during that time from 457 B.C. all the way to 490 years later, God was going to give the Jewish nation time to turn away from sin, to turn to him, to trust in him. This is what Daniel 9 is all about, the 70 weeks prophecy. Sadly, according to history, they would not turn even at something as powerful as the ministry of Christ. It was 3.5 years, and then another 3.5 years, when Christ would continue to confirm the 7-year ministry through his apostles. I pray, friends, that that makes sense. When you get time, go back and read Daniel chapter 9. So as this happened, I've left, I've gone to heaven, but I will send my Holy Spirit to do through my apostles powerful works that it will reach the people for another 3.5 years, fulfilling the 7-year covenant that I made with the people. And this, of course, would bring us to the end of the 490-year prophecy. Now, look at how this prophecy ends. It says, and in those days, this is Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians among the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And you have to remember, friends, if we're looking at Acts chapter 6 now, there's thousands upon thousands of disciples that have now entered into the New Testament church. Just on the day of Pentecost itself, 3,000 people entered into the New Testament church. This system, this church, this gospel order that God was raising up. So these are thousands of people. And then in verse 3, the apostles decide to do something. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. So look at who they elect. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God, look at this, because of this order now, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So they were still doing the work to Jerusalem, and great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And it comes back to Stephen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people.
Now, friends, as the story goes from verse 9 onward through the end of chapter 7, Stephen, who was a Jew by birth, but knew how to speak Greek very well, was daily ministering to the Jews and to the Jews who had the Jewish synagogues that had Greek converts. And this is what it actually mentions here in verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. All right, so as this happens now, they enter into a dispute with Stephen. Stephen is proclaiming the message, but look at what happens. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned. That means they deceived, they worked through men to do a work of deception. So they suborned men, meaning in a sense they bribed men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And the people stirred up, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, just like they did for Christ, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs and which Moses delivered unto us." And all that sat in the council, now look at this, all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Chapter 7, now verse 1 says, "Then said the high priest, are these things so?" Now what begins here, friends, from verse 2 to the end of chapter 7 is a sermon where Stephen goes through the history of God raising up a people through Abraham that would ultimately become the Hebrews, the Jewish nation, and then raising up Moses to deliver the people of God, but how the people that Moses was a part of, they would not receive him, how they continually rejected and had issues with Moses' leadership, and how God was trying to use Moses to deliver them. And he takes this and he makes a parallel to how Moses prophesied that after me, God would raise up a prophet like unto myself, and him are you to hear and give heed to. And Stephen then makes the parallel, but even though God raised up this prophet, and friends, the person that Moses was prophesying about, this prophet that would come, that would be just like himself, that as he delivered the children of Israel, God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt by Moses' guidance, in the same way God would raise up a prophet just like Moses to deliver Israel again, but now from something greater than Egypt. It would actually be to deliver them from sin. The one that Moses was prophesying about was none other than Jesus Christ. So he prophesied about the coming of Christ. But the sad thing was the people would not receive Jesus Christ. And so Stephen is making the parallel that just as Israel had a hard time receiving Moses, in the same way, they had a hard time receiving Christ. Now, as he begins to get to this point, the people know where he's going, and the leaders and the people become stirred up. And look at what Stephen's response is as he realizes this is happening. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Here it is, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One," speaking of Jesus Christ, "and whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things," verse 54, "they were cut to the heart." So they were convicted. But look at what they did with that conviction. They gnashed upon him with their teeth. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven." Now, I want you to notice something. Check this out. This is powerful, friends. 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And look at what it says here. And Jesus, look at what Jesus is doing, standing on the right hand of God. Now, you know why this is so powerful? It's because we're getting to the very point, because with the stoning of Stephen, this is 3.5 years after the crucifixion of Christ. What is this saying to us? The week is complete. In other words, Christ fulfilled the first part of the 7 years. That is 3.5 years. He did a ministry, a powerful ministry. And as he started that ministry, he knew that the 490-year prophecy dedicated towards reaching the Jews was almost up. This is why when Jesus started his ministry, according to the book of Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, this is what Jesus says, because he knew that, hey, this time is about to close. We got 7 more years left to reach this group of people that they may receive the message of salvation and be conduits to give it to the world. Hence, when Jesus began his ministry, what did he say? Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the time is fulfilled. In other words, prophetic time. That's why he said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Do you see that? So in other words, Christ knew that the prophecy in Daniel was now at its last 7-year period. The 490 years was about to close. 7 more years were left. From the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus, 7 years will be left. And Jesus says, for the first 3.5 of those 7 years, I'm going to do all I can to draw you back to myself. And so he called them to repentance, saying that the time is fulfilled. What time? The time of Daniel chapter 9. He said, we have entered the 7 last years, the last week of the 70-week Bible prophecy. And so he goes in, 3.5 years later, he dies. But he says, I promised that I would confirm the covenant. How now? Since he's resurrected and ascended to heaven, how would he do it? Through those who heard him from the very beginning. That is, through his disciples, his apostles. So they began to preach. Day of Pentecost, Spirit falls. They begin to preach, and the Spirit is poured out upon the people. The hearts of men are converted, 3,000. Then at another time, more and more people begin to come into the movement of the New Testament church, the gospel church. And so as this happens now, the covenant, the next 3.5 years after the crucifixion, the apostles continue to give the message of salvation, starting where? According to Jesus' words, to fulfill the covenant, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, specifically in verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, predicting Pentecost, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Here's where it starts. Both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And friends, that's how it started. Spirit of God fell. The disciples were in an upper room in Jerusalem waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit was outpoured, they went out in Jerusalem proclaiming the message to the Jewish nation. And for the next 3.5 years, they would focus in on Jerusalem and Judea. But friends, when we read Acts chapter 7, the end of Acts chapter 7, we are reading biblically, historically, this is 3.5 years later. After Christ's crucifixion, after the day of Pentecost, this is 3.5 years later, the situation with Stephen is happening. And so what are we seeing here? The time has come where the probationary time period of the Jewish nation has closed. It's about to close. That's what we're reading in this part here. And not by coincidence, as it's about to close, when you add 490 years to 457 BC, when Artaxerxes Longimanus gave the decree for the Jews to go back and rebuild the walls and the city and the judicial system, that decree was given in 457 BC. 490 years later would bring us to 34 AD. And historically, This is the time period we are in Acts chapter 7. So as Jewish probation is about to close, meaning that God would use them as his denominated people to reach the world, because they had been already given the oracles. God said, all right, I'll work with them. I'll give them Daniel. He says in Daniel 9, I'll give your people 490 years to repent, to turn away from sin, and to be prepared to receive the Messiah. Sadly, they did not do well in making preparation. Now, Acts chapter 7 comes, and notice what Stephen sees as probation is about to close upon the Jewish nation. It's very interesting. Verse 55, we read it. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, he being full of the Holy Ghost looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And in the closing of this probationary period, what does he see? Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Friends, you know why that's so powerful? Because the closing of probation upon the Jewish people, along with the destruction that would come about 3 decades later, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, we are told that the destruction of Jerusalem, as a result of them not receiving the work that God had given them, the destruction of Jerusalem is a type of the destruction of the end of the world. This is what Jesus does in Matthew 24. He links the destruction of Jerusalem that would come to the destruction that would take place at the end of the world. And you know what I find interesting is when the Jewish probation closes, three decades before its destruction, that's what we're reading here in Acts chapter 7, when that Jewish probation closes, Stephen sees Michael. Stephen sees Jesus standing up. Friends, go with me in your Bibles. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And we're going to see this again. At the end of Daniel chapter 11, we read of the king of the north. That is a symbol of the papal system, doing an attack on God's people because the gospel is beginning to go out to the world. How do we know this? Verse 44 of Daniel 11 says this, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. That is, tidings out of the east and tidings out of the north shall trouble the king of the north, symbol of the papal system, and apostate Protestantism united with the papal system. It says here, tidings out of the east and the north shall trouble the king of the north. Therefore, what shall the king of the north do? He shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. Now, look at how he does this. So that means that we're talking about here the final martyrdom. There will be a destruction of many lives. Why? Because a message is going forth, a tidings, a symbol of the gospel. The final manifestation of the gospel will be going forth everywhere, and it will be so powerful that what will happen? The papal system, united with the power, the civil power that it has now, will go forth, and we've been covering that for the last few weeks, the way that the papacy receives the power that it will receive in the end is because it will first start off with Protestant America uniting with the state to take the state and then give it over into the hands of the papacy. And friends, that's why, as I was mentioning to you all over the past few weeks, we must, as we talk about Bible prophecy, yes, firstly, we must look at Jesus Christ to have our characters assimilated to his. We must compare our characters with his and see the lukewarm condition that the Laodicean church has and seek to remedy those defects of character by coming to him alone who can remedy the defects. That is Christ. But the next place that many are looking, sadly, many are not even making it a point to look to Jesus for the remedying of the defects of our character. But friends, before they even look to Christ, they're looking over at the man in Rome. And they don't realize that the only way that the papal system will rise to the power that it once had during the Dark Ages, and even more power than that, is that the United States of America, Protestantism in this nation, must take hold of the civil power and give it over to the papacy. And once that happens in this nation, then the rest of the civil leaders of the world will also hand over its power to the papal system. That's how the papacy will one day again rise to world domination. Back then, it was the then-known world, most of Western Europe. But at the end of time, it will be the entire world. But it happens first here. So what we're looking at, what we've been looking at over the past few weeks, is the radicalization Protestant America, the radicalization of Christianity. That's why when you look into the news today and you hear politicians saying, I quote politicians saying, we are the church and we run the state. Or when you see politicians saying, you know what? America is becoming more and more immoral. The solution is not evangelism. The solution is let's turn to the state and work through the state to control the citizens of the United States. Whenever you hear that kind of language from Christians, friends, that is Revelation 13 speech. It is dragon speech. And this, in the midst of this happening, this formation taking place, where Protestant America hands over the civil power to the papacy, and the rest of the world follows suit. The papacy at that time will be growing in power, but as it's growing in power, then it hears a message out of the east and out of the north. In other words, glad tidings, the final demonstration of the gospel going forth to the world. As this happens, the papacy will do a counterattack. How? It will go forth and seek to destroy many. That's the final martyrdom of the saints just before probation closes. How do we know probation hasn't closed yet? Verse 45 says, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palaces. Tabernacles, that's a religious entity or building, place of worship. That's a symbol of religion now. And of his palace. And he shall plant the tabernacles, religious, of his palace. That's temporal, that civil power. So what we're looking at here is that he shall use, that is the papacy shall use its religio-political power, tabernacles, religious, palace, political, for kings live in palaces. It shall use its religio-political power, and it shall plant it between the seas. And the actual Hebrew translation, while it says here in the English, it says he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. The actual Hebrew translation is this. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace, his religio-political power, between the seas, that is between the multitudes, peoples, nations, and tongues, the glorious holy mountain. That is a symbol of the people of God at the end of time. So we're seeing here that the papacy will use its religio-political power that it's receiving from the civil leaders of the world between the seas against the glorious holy mountain. Why? Because as a result of the tidings from the east and the north going forth in verse 44, people are being reached. So the papacy says we have to get in between the people and set them against those who are giving these glad tidings. But as he's doing this, look at what happens. Cases are being decided. The gospel is going out in its final power, final jolt of power. The latter rain is happening. All of these things are taking place. And as people now are making their decisions, cases are being sealed, and the papacy is rising in power. This is what takes place. Yet he, speaking of the king of the north, shall come to his end, and none shall help him. How so? Daniel 12:1. It says, it is at this time, while the papacy is rising, destroying the lives of men, as people are now sealed, making their decision for or against God, it is at this time, chapter 12 and verse 1, how shall the papacy come to its end? At that time, the time we just read about at the end of Daniel 11, Michael, that is a symbol of who? Christ. What shall Christ do, friends? We see Christ here standing up. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So do you see it? At this time in Daniel chapter 12, we see Michael standing up. And as Michael stands up, well, what is that a symbol of? Friends, it is a symbol that everyone has made their decision. It is a symbol of the close of probation. In other words, every case has been decided. Now we are looking at the close of probation of the world. So it's very interesting that when we look at the story of the close of the Jewish probation, we see that at the close of that probation, we saw Jesus standing up. And in the same way, when probation closes, not just for the Jewish nation, but for the entire world, we see Jesus standing again. A symbol that a probationary time period has ended. Just as when it ended for the Jews, Christ stood up, so when it will end at the end of the world, every case will be decided, Christ will stand up again. A symbol that now his mediatorial work has ended. And so, friends, this is why this is so powerful, because we are seeing in the story of Stephen a type of what will come at the very end. When Jesus does not just stand up as a symbol of probation closing just for a specific group of people, as it was in 34 AD, but now he stands up as a symbol of probation closing for the entire planet. Because why? Everyone has made their choice. And so this is why it's so powerful, friends. The Jewish nation in the time of Stephen made its decision. Of course, there were people in it who could be saved, people who can come, but they would have to come individually. No longer, and of course, there was never a time where people can be saved corporately, right? It is always individually. But as a nation, God desired to use Israel to reach the world. But when 34 AD came, when Stephen was giving that sermon, friends, the Jewish nation had made their final decision as a nation, that is. As a nation, they said, we do not want the Messiah. First, it happened at the cross. They said, we have no king but Caesar. And then at this instance, as Stephen was giving the message, God reaching the final point of the confirmation of the covenant, the people said, once again, no, we will not receive this Jesus as Messiah. And so once this happened, friends, probationary time period closed, symbolized in Jesus standing up, Stephen seeing it, and friends, that's when they moved forward from the Jewish nation to reach the Gentiles. But at the end of time, of course, it won't be like that. In this sense, the pattern is different. For when probation closes at the end of time, there's no more people to reach. The gospel has already gone to the entire world by that point, and everyone has made their decision. The next event that happens is the end of the world. So friends, I pray that this made sense, because next time we're going to see the work that we must do before the end, and it comes actually in Acts chapter 8, believe it or not. It comes in Acts chapter 8, and we can see it also in the life of Christ. There is a work that would give evidence, that would give powerful, it will cause our work and our words to become insanely persuasive. And now I'm beginning to realize more and more, I saw this before and been setting my mind toward it, but as I've been studying it more now, this work that needs to be done, friends, it is so powerful. But next time we'll see that as we go into Acts chapter 8. But I pray that this made sense to us this evening as we saw the parallels of Michael standing up in the days of Stephen stoning and Michael standing up in the day when the probation for the world ends. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, O Lord, that this made sense to each and every one of us. Draw us ever closer to you in this time and help us to become like Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Do this work in us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message. And we, brothers and sisters, I know that we all have took some notes and and followed this message. So we ask him that if anyone have any questions concerning this message that was just preached, we ask that you press 1. And if you have a question for Brother Akeem, I know he wouldn't mind answering it for you. But if there's no one, we're going to say thank you, brothers and sisters. I'm just checking to make sure. Is anyone that have any questions? Let's see. Hold on. I think I have a couple. Let's press 1. Let's see. Wait. Oh, I open.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Sister Carla, you have a question?
Yes. Yes. Hi. Good evening. Yes. Hi, Brother Akeem.
Okay.
Yes. My question. Trying to see how to form this. Since what happened to Stephen, those in high power basically came against him and, you know, gave him up to be persecuted. Will that happen to us also? Those that are in leadership, will they, the faithful remnant, will they have them persecuted also for preaching and for, you know, teaching the word of God, adulterated without, you know.
Yeah, powerful. That's a powerful point. So, yes, so the idea is that at the end of the end, and this is one of the things that we see in Jesus' time, powerful point you're making, one of the things that we see in Jesus' time is even though he'll have a faithful movement to the end, there was a major shaking and sifting of power. So you see in Stephen's time, the people of the Jewish church, of the synagogue, the leaders within the synagogue, and ultimately they brought him before the leadership of the council, they stood against what Stephen was saying. In the same way, at the end of time, there will be church leaders who stand against God's people. But what I'm realizing is that at the end, when these things happen, we are told that as the storm approaches, a large amount of people part actually from this movement. In other words, the storm will cleanse them out. And what will happen, and that's what the Bible calls, now that's going beyond this, the shaking. Shaking is that people are being shaken up within the church, but they haven't yet departed. But the sifting is a little bit different, and it seems, based on the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, the sifting transpires when the Sunday law happens. As that storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message will actually depart from our ranks, because it would come to a point, just as it was in the early church, to be a Christian, you had to be either genuine or you were out. Not because you were disciplined and thrown out by the church, but because they knew that to choose that route of being a Christian was to choose, in a sense, certain death. And by the time the Sunday law is passed, this is what it will again come to, because the Sunday law will come in degrees. So this is why I'm beginning to realize that many, even among the leadership that may be antagonistic toward the message today, interestingly enough, while they may be Seventh-day Adventists, but antagonistic to the very heart of Adventism, when this storm approaches, unless they change and begin to truly fall in love with the message that God has given to us, they themselves will leave the ranks of the movement. But then we are also told something else. They who were once part of the movement and left the movement in light of the persecution, they will become the worst enemies of the movement itself, purified now by persecution. So I hope that makes sense. So yes, definitely, leaders will be against it, but I believe that those leaders who will be against the message, God will sift them out through the storm that is coming until only the faithful remain.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Answer your question, sister?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Carla. Now we have two more, Brother Akeem. We're going to open the line for Sister Powell. Sister Powell, I can see your hand up now. You press one.
Yeah, Brother Akeem. So when probation is closed, right? That is the time the national Sunday law is passed, right? Probation.
A little different,
Michael, stand up, right? Jesus Christ, stand up and say, "It is done."
Right.
That time probation is closed for everyone.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And there's a systematic way in which it happens, because you have the time of trouble has three parts to it. You have the little time of trouble, that is from the passing of the National Sunday Law to the close of probation. So there's a little time there.
Mm-hmm.
The time on probation, from the time Sunday Law passes, the first passing of it in the United States. From that time onward, the little time of trouble begins. And it goes until the close of probation. There will be many people in that little time of trouble that will die for their faith as they stand for it and as they stand for religious freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Seventh-day Adventist Church being the bastion of freedom. But at that time, of course, this movement will be purified, because now it's either stand or die, right? So people will be choosing stand or fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people will be making the decision to give their lives that this message may go forward. And the Sunday law will be increasing in its strength. In other words, as we're told in Inspiration, it may first start off as, hey, we're not asking you to stop doing your stuff on Saturday, but at least you got to show some kind of respect to Sunday. We're actually told it will be in four levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until by the time it gets to the close of probation, the law becomes so oppressive that it won't just be do something on both days. It will now be you either keep Sunday period or you die, right? So by that time now, that from Sunday law passing to the close of probation, that's the little time of trouble. From the close of probation to the second coming of Jesus, that is what is known in the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy as the great time of trouble. So in that time, from the close of probation to the second coming, that's the great time of trouble. No one will die for their faith. They will be persecuted. The saints will be persecuted still, more than ever before. But they will not die. Why? Because all cases have been decided. So there's no more reason for blood to be shed, because you remember Ellen White tells us in the book Great Controversy, and history bears out this point, that the blood of martyrs was as seed. So the reason that God raised up the witness of a martyr, someone who would die for the faith, was so that as they died, it would be a living witness to those who were on the verge of making decisions for Christ. But now, the time has come where everybody has made their choice. So hence we are told that when probation closes to the second coming, not one saint will die. They will go through a period of persecution like never before, but they will not perish. Now, in that time, as it comes now close down to the very edge, just before the return of Christ, that's when the Sunday decree becomes the worst that it will ever be. We're told in Great Controversy that it will come to the point where in one night a decree will go out to slay every commandment keeper. It will get to that point. And when it comes to that point, that is known in Scripture and in Inspiration as Jacob's time of trouble. So Jacob's time of trouble is the last piece of the great time of trouble, just before Christ returns. That's when the battle gets the worst that it will ever be. So
those are the stages. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, and another point. But whatsoever we are doing, we cannot wait until probation closes. Whatsoever to follow is now, right? Because if we are going to wait to get ready when probation closes, that Michael stand up, there is no more intercessory. So it is useless.
That's right. Nice. It's useless. You're right. It's useless to stand at that to try to get your life ready at that time. You're right.
Okay. So I think this is the message that's supposed to be preaching now at this time, not to delay this message, because there are a lot of people, even brothers and sisters, they are in church for how many years still. Do not really get this message and stick to this message. So this message has to go out rapidly like wildfire, just as our Revelation 12 says, and the angel came down with great power, lighting the world with his glory. So that we have to be lightened up now to carry this message out here to the dying world. We cannot wait until probation comes.
That's right. That's
absolutely
right.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Now we got one more, Brother Akeem. We have Brother O'Neill. So hold on. Brother O'Neill, 631.
Greetings again, Virgin. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for this. Yeah, thank God for this presentation, Brother Akeem. And as if you present this presentation, something flashed right into my mind by the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
As I was looking at Matthew 23, Jesus predicted this desolation of Jerusalem in chapter 23 when he pronounced the woe, seven woes in Matthew 23. He pronounced eight woes. In Matthew 23, on the Jewish nation, based on the things that they were doing, and Jesus said in verse 37, like Jesus was crying for Jerusalem, he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet, them which are sent unto thee." As you said, this was the same message Stephen was proclaiming when he was being stoned.
Yes.
Even as a hen gathered a chicken under her wings, and he would not. You understand? Christ was saying,
"Yes."
Now their house is left unto them desolate. In verse 28, behold, your house is left unto you desolate because of the rejection of Christ.
Yes.
Christ came in person. He used the prophets.
Yes.
And the patriots to proclaim to the Jewish nation, and they rejected all these things. And we see, as the question was asked in Matthew 24, Christ was speaking again. Every red word we see in the Bible is Christ speaking.
Yeah.
And he says in verse 9 and verse 10, when Sister Paul asks about, Carla asks about the, what will become of those in these last days, if they're going to go through the same persecution. But Christ predicted these things in Matthew 24. He said in verse 9 and 10, then shall they deliver you up to be what? Afflicted, and shall kill you, and he shall be hated up, not some men, of all nations. For what?
Right.
So as you declare, when the thunder law has been passed, there's going to be a hatred for the commandment-keeping people. For my name's sake. And in verse 10, and then shall many be offended. Who will be offended? Those among us will be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. So we see the enemy is gonna come from within us to betray us, because when you are living according to the truth that God has given according to His words, then you will be betrayed. Who betrayed Jesus? It was Judas Iscariot, one that was with him. The enemy never used people from without. He always used people that are within. People are not consecrated to God.
Right.
So what you shared is very, very important. And we are doing a study now on Friday. People from different churches come together. We're doing a study on the desire of ages. Now we are at chapter 4 now. We are studying also ministry of healing with other people. So, you know, we are trying to get people to read the spirit of prophecy, because it is speaking in these last days to the people of God, accompanied with the word of God. Thank you so much. And I'll ask for you guys' prayer as we go out this week in the Queens area. The Mount Sinai Church in Queens, they're putting on a health outreach, and the health emphasis is based on people taking control of their health, and they will be doing natural remedies and doing consultation with the people to get the people to be healthier and follow the principle of health and do lifestyle changes. So we ask for your prayers. We'll be going out and preparing stuff for the people and showing them how they can make lifestyle changes. So thank you. And Pastor Akeem, I will ask you one of the time to do a presentation with Kavi, using different people to present on the Desire Ages chapter. So I will call you to for you to help on that as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, sisters and brothers, we got one more. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for coming on, asking your question. We have one more, Brother Eli. And Brother Eli, we're going to open your line for Brother Akeem. So, Brother Eli, your line is open.
Hello, Brother Akeem. How you doing today? I wonder, my name's Brother Eli. I have a question for you. How come the young people are feeling stressed? Because some people are feeling stressed too, Brother Akeem, and some people feeling like overwhelmed, like because Brother Akeem, when people feeling stressed, I feel like people is feeling stressed at the moment. And what I came in, Sister Power, I'm asking you to pray for our dear brother. And Sister Power, please lift up Brother Javel in prayer. Continue to lift him up in prayer. Sister Power, continue, Brother Akeem, when you finish answering my question, Brother Akeem, I'm looking you to a special prayer for Brother Javel at the moment. Thank you, and may God bless you.
All right. Yes, I think one of the reasons the many young people are stressed is just because, you know, I think it's the home life. At least that's one of them. As I read books like Adventist Home, Prophecy, as I look at what's going on in society, I realize that a lot of times the home is not in order. So you have, for example, and let me read it here. This is found in Adventist Home. Actually, it's crazy. It's actually the very first statement, and the original place from which it is taken, because, as you know, Adventist Home is a compilation of Ellen White's statements on home life and how it should be. But the original statement is taken from the Ministry of Healing, page 349. It states here, society is composed. Now listen to this. This is so powerful. Society is composed of families and is what the heads of families make it. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And the heart of the community, of the church, and of the nation is the household. So the heart of the church, the community, or she goes in the community, the church, the nation is the household. The well-being, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about stress or depression.
the well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon home influences. The elevation or deterioration of the future of society will be determined by the manners and morals of the youth growing up around us. So the idea here is that God is showing, and actually I'll quote the whole statement here. It says, as the youth are educated and as their characters are molded in their childhood to virtuous habits, self-control, temperance, so will their influence be upon society. If they are left unenlightened and uncontrolled, and as the result become self-willed, intemperate, that means out of control in appetite and passion, so will their future influence in molding society. The company which the young now keep, the habits they now form, and the principles they now adopt, listen to this, the company which the young now keep, the habits which they now form, and the principles they now adopt are the index to the state of society for years to come. So in other words, what God is trying to show is a lot of times the reason for the depression that many are facing or the stress that they're facing is, one, for sure, they have not spent that adequate time at the feet of Jesus Christ. But I notice that there's something else. And this is where I always tell people, I know many people don't like this, but friends, I pray and I ask you to do this, that when a person is feeling depressed, there are three major things to look at. One is, what does your time with Christ look like? Are the things that you are beholding, is it consuming your life more than your time spent with Jesus? A lot of times the reason for the state of the youth today as it concerns depression, and I realized as a young person, I didn't want to admit that, it was because of what I was beholding, what I was looking at. And a lot of times as you behold things that for fun reiterate depressing thoughts, that's what people become. It's the same thing that happened with the situation with many of these mass shootings. Is it even as the situation with Uvalde in Uvalde, Texas, with this young guy who goes in and shoots up, kills 21 people. But you know what they found out after they did some research? They found out that for sure he was mentally unstable. His life was going downhill even before that act. Many times by the time it gets to that point, friends, it is because there were things that were happening before. There were mental health issues that were not addressed. There were situations that he was going through that probably he got to the point where he reasoned away all logic because of things that he was doing prior. And so this is why I say we can't say I can watch these things or I can look at such and such or I can look at this and that and it won't have any effect on me. Friends, what we behold ultimately begins to shape our mindset, our words, our actions, and ultimately our characters. So that's one. This is why I say to us we must spend more time in the Word, more time in prayer, more time after Word and prayer, which is the source of power, more time in religious life, inspiration calls it. That means dedicate your time to the work of God. Whether it be at your job, at your church, dedicate your time to holy things. Secondly, and that comes after you behold Christ, spending time with him and telling him the struggles that you're facing. Secondly, as you're trying to change your atmosphere, the second thing is this, friends, we must apply the principles and laws that God has given us. As we apply not only, yes, the moral law, but the health law. A lot of times people are stressed because of simple things, and this is medically proven, because of simple things like not getting out into the sunlight, not doing proper time of walking, not spending time in proper rest, not spending time taking deep breaths, as inspiration talks about it, not drinking enough water, not having proper nutrition. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times,
Go ahead, brother. I'm just saying.
So it's just because a lot of times, because the laws of nature, the natural laws that God has set up, it has not been kept. A lot of the youth today, for example, a lot of them are inside. They're in dark rooms. And a lot of times with depression, what depression tends to do is it tends to cause a person to become to seclude themselves. They sometimes mm-hmm. come away. And so as a result of spending time in the dark, not only inside of our heads, but even physically, that's why in my room, friends, when I go to bed at night, in harmony with inspiration, I open up my windows to let fresh air in as I rest. As I wake up in the morning, I try throughout the day, at least multiple days per week, to get 3 miles in per day and to try to up that each day. That's something that I recommend to each and every one of us, to get into a place. And if you can't, still do the walking. But if you can, while doing that walking, get into nature. Sometimes I may not have the time to drive out to a place where it's full, where it's just trees and pure air, but I come outside and I walk around my entire apartment complex, which will give me a mile. Two times will give me almost 3 miles. And so as I do these things, it impacts my frontal lobe. It impacts my body. I'm getting proper serotonin levels. All of these things are happening, which increases your joy and contentment. So as you do these things in harmony with natural law, it preserves life. And then lastly, if you feel that you have serious medical and mental problems, if you feel that, whoa, it's becoming too much, friends, get medical, mental, professional help. Go to a Christian counselor who specializes in these things. Friends, we need more people that are studying mental health and uniting it with the principles of books like Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 1 and 2. People who can help people that are mental professionals. Because sometimes you have people, pastors, and now that's why many pastors are doing this, which I'm very happy about, because you have some pastors in the past, they would see a person depressed and they would just say, you know what, you're demon-possessed. Stuff like that, that's how they were diagnosing these problems. And as a result, people were going into more distress and at times taking their own lives. So friends, look to Jesus. Look at your environment. Are you looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at that influences your philosophy of life, your mindset? Two, seek and pray and ask God to help you to follow his natural laws, not just the moral ones. And then three, if you know that you are in an insanely bad place, take time and get mental professional help. Christ is enough. That is true. But just as he trains men and women to communicate the gospel, he is also training men and women in our world today to address mental issues. This is what our pioneers used to do, but the art has died. And so this is why we need young people today and mental professionals, people who would go into that field and begin to teach, not the psychology of Freud and other people, but biblical principles. Go to places, find places like Meet, or go to places like Weimar that are helping people to overcome their mental depression with principles from the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. Get mental therapy, medical professional mental therapy that can help you. Don't be afraid to do that, and don't let people make you feel bad because or make you feel like you're against faith if you get mental help, professional help. Do it and get the help that you need. So that will be my answer to Brother Eli's question, and I'll be praying for Brother, I think it was Javal you mentioned. I'll be praying for him, Brother Eli.
Yeah, Javal. Amen. And Javel. Brother Akeem, when you mention the in the home, and this is what Proverbs said. I'm gonna read this and we can close. And it says verse 22 and verse 23. It says, "For they, let them not depart from thine eyes." Well, up at the top, it's talking about the ways. Say, "For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issue of life." And, you know, the Bible tells us to guard our heart, because if you don't guard your heart, you know, out of that is the issue of life. So we got to guard that mind and that, and like you say, keeping that all in Christ Jesus, because I'm telling you, it's so many things are happening. But brothers and sisters, I pray that each and every one of prayer line may help. And when we see that mental person or that person that having problems, that we can pray in our heart and ask God to help us to minister to those that are sick. Amen. So we're going to close, brothers and sisters. Brother Akeem have had a lot, and by God's grace, he answered the questions, and may we all take heed and be able to help someone that's in need. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message and all the other things that you've given us tonight, and we pray that each and every one of you be blessed, and even those that's in other countries who all join us tonight. So we asking that you all have a perfect and a peaceful rest for tonight. Amen. And thank you once again, Brother Akeem, for blessing us with this message tonight. And I just would play a quick song. Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I think, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed,